What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
For Carl and Mike, they'll be back on Tuesday. Hope you have a great Memorial Day weekend here. It is a 5 o'clock hour, and it's time to get into a little bit of football talk. And speaking of football, you know we're only 3 weeks away from the start of the World Cup in Atlanta. That's why they got the, you guys see the grass down at Mercedes-Benz Stadium?
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't it too bad we can't have grass there? The one design thing they missed was not the ability to have grass all the time. The one flaw in the stadium. This is the biggest year ever for soccer in Atlanta, and Jason Longshore has got you covered every Tuesday night for Atlanta Soccer Tonight, as he covers all the Atlanta United news and keeping tabs on international soccer and, of course, the World Cup. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. It's Tuesday nights on Sports Radio 99 The Game. It's available the next day at the Off the Woodwork podcast, which you can find on Odyssey, and we're just 3 weeks away. Do you know the opening game by any chance, guys, for the World Cup here? You know, the first game's June 15. It is, are you ready for this? Spain versus Cape Verde.
Nice.
But just a quick prediction on the Spain-Cape Verde game. Final score, Day-Day.
2-1.
Oren.
Like 7-0.
Yeah, I was at 8-0.
I'm sorry, 7-0.
Sorry, yes, 8-0. I was being kind. Spain versus Cape Verde. Yeah, that's not going to be so much a game. But tickets are from $475, though. Oh, jeez. You know, game's going to be over 8 minutes in. Just saying. But it is the World Cup. It's going to be kind of fun. Anyway, get back to the Falcons report here as we get ready for the camp to begin. OTA is going on at Flowery Branch and getting ready for camp for the Atlanta Falcons. Hey, so, Day-Day, I ask you to look at the Falcons thing, the Falcons X, and they tweeted out here, posted, however we call it these days, the new training camp hats.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, Oren, have you seen the new training camp hats?
I got an email from Fanatics advertising them.
Okay. All right. First impressions here, guys. Give me 10 being the best, 0 being the worst. What is your impression of the new training camp hat?
For me, it's not bad. It's not. I don't know that I'd run out and grab it, but I think it's a nice hat.
So you give it a what?
If it's a scale of 1 to 10, I'd give it an 8.
An 8. Oren?
You're talking to the non-hat guy, though, John. That's one thing. Like, I'm not a big hat wearing dude. If I was, I'd sport this. I'm just not a. I don't do hats. Just don't do them.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I don't like the raised logo. I'm not a big raised logo guy, but I know that some people do like the whole concept
of a raised logo. They did a hat similar to that last year, right? Mm-hmm. With the raised logo, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I'm not a big raised logo guy. I like it straight on the hat. But I understand why people would like it. It's cool colors. It's not really team colors. Is that a tan?
Because it looks kind of like a tan. Right? Yeah.
With the black. And I'm not opposed to it. I like the fact that it is a black bird.
Yeah.
Because we are the black birds, not the red and black birds. Falcons history, we are the black birds. It's the reason we're called the black birds. Though nobody calls them the black. I grew up calling them the black birds. And that's been kind of lost to, boomers say that. And zoomers just call them whatever they call them. I think it's okay. I mean, I think it's fine. But my thing more than anything else is, Hugh and I were out there at training camp at like 3:46 in the morning. Some mornings, just sitting there in the way dark, waiting to do a show. Nobody ever gave us a training camp hat. We couldn't even get, they had one year where they had some bucket hats. So we couldn't even score one of those. When did they start doing training camp hats?
You've done training camp hats for a while, John.
No, Not when you and I were there.
There's a draft hat, a training camp hat, yeah, and then they'll do the salute to service hat, and all kind of stuff, yeah.
Goes back to what we talked about with college football, man. They recognize that there's a if they put it out there, people will get it.
Yeah, no, okay, I'm fine with it. I wasn't aware that there were training camp hats. You know, are there OT? We got to have OTA hats, you know, or, right. You know, combined practice hats.
Draft
you know?
Day hats.
Preseason hats. You know?
QB competition hats.
QB competition hats. Okay.
Penix, you know? Penix 9 on one side and 1 on the other side for Tua.
Yeah, there's also a note in the Atlanta Falcons X today that in his career, brief as it is, Michael Penix has only taken 1 snap from under center. That was in 2025. And I'm going to guess that was just a victory formation snap. It'll be interesting to see how it works. I mean, the Falcons need to go under center because when the bus comes out and says he believes, Jerome Bettis said, that Bijan Robinson is the number one running back in the NFL right now, that's not a big stretch from the bus because he is the number one running back in the NFL right now. And I know Lions fans, what about Jahmyr Gibbs? Well, I'm telling you, Lions fans, right now, I would not trade Bijan Robinson to you straight up for Jahmyr Gibbs. Sorry, I would not. And that's the way to kind of determine things. Oren, if you're fighting the fight between Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan as the best running back in the NFL, would you trade right now if you were, you know, Ian Cunningham, would you pick up the phone, call Detroit and say, you want to do a trade?
No.
Day-Day, would you want to trade Bijan for Jahmyr?
No. And I'd have to watch more Lions games just to make sure I'm accurate, but I feel like Bijan alone, not just in the run game, I feel like he brings more to the passing game, too. I feel like he does more out of the backfield with his hands.
And I think he's done more with less in terms of quarterbacks and weapons with what the Lions have had. And so, yeah, no, I'm not making that trade. So he believes Bijan's the number one running back in the NFL. That's because he is. But I'm going to be really interested to see if we can settle this quarterback issue here. You know, what is – we have not seen – is it fair to say that we have not seen – potentially the very best out of Kyle Pitts and Drake London? Because I don't think we've seen the very best.
Definitely fair to say. We definitely, especially out of Drake London. I mean, the quarterback play has not been, and for Pitts as well, but again, Pitts has been dealing with injury. Then he just kind of had the down year in general, which, you know, we thought maybe he wasn't, you know, there could have still been something lingering in regards to him coming back from injury. But for Drake, like the quarterback play, man, it hasn't been consistent enough for him to really show us his best, if we're honest.
Yeah, that's kind of how I fall too. I mean, what would be the impression of Drake London as a wide receiver had he been on a team with a consistent quarterback? Again, if you look at Kyle Pitts, if Tua does start the opener against 7 starting quarterbacks, Kyle Pitts has played 4 years. It'll be 4 years and a game, and his 7th different quarterback to start a game for the 7. I mean, can you imagine if you had a star quarterback all 4 years that you had gotten into rhythm with? If you were – because, look, nobody doubts how great Julio Jones was. Of course, you can't doubt how great Julio is because he was truly great. But he also had the luxury of being alongside Matt Ryan at the same time, who was a great quarterback, and they developed a rhythm and they developed a sync that, you know, Ryan trusted him. You look at some of the greatest plays Julio ever made, and Ryan just threw the ball up there and said, go get it. And Julio said, okay, I'll go get it. You know, because there was a trust level between the two. Ryan said, oh, there's Julio. Here, go get this one. And that doesn't necessarily exist when you're changing quarterbacks all the time, especially if your quarterbacks have been kind of the throwing caliber that Drake London has been used to. And it is sort of interesting, isn't it, guys, when we start talking about presuming that Penix is healthy. And what we're starting to see now in OTAs is starting to lead me to believe that he's going to be 100 by training camp, maybe 100 by the preseason. Forget about the regular season. And we are going to have a quarterback battle. Matter of fact, the Falcons X even references that quarterback battle today. The Falcons are expecting it to be a quarterback battle. We're expecting it to be a quarterback battle. If it develops into a quarterback battle, everybody likes to say, well, it's nice that they're similar, that they're both left-handed, but is it fair to say that their throwing styles are two totally different things? I mean, Tua is a soft, and I don't mean to say this in a bad way, because he's a touch passer, okay? I mean, he can load it up and throw it downfield, don't get me wrong. But he's more of an arc thrower, a touch passer, a lead thrower, where Penix is a fastball. It's like Tua throws, he's like Tom Glavine. He's throwing like, you know, off speed. And all Penix is he's straight out gas. He throws fastballs. He's got to be hard. By the way, he's got to be hard to catch. Does anybody throw it in the NFL harder than Michael Penix? Dude throws a fastball. I don't know what it's coming out of his hands at, but it's hot coming out of those hands.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone throws it harder, but you're right. He does throw it. I mean, he gets – and he's known for – that's kind of been the thing for him, right? Like, there's always been the questions of his short game, but no questions in regards to his deep game. He can launch it. So, we'll see.
Oh, no, there's no question about his deep game either. If you go back and look at UW and watch Rome Odunze, I mean, there were 60 yards in the air and drop it in a basket. Mm-hmm. He just can't get anybody open downfield. He doesn't have the time.
Yeah, so. But I agree with you. I think the if you based your decision on what you're seeing from the Falcons' social media, it looks like he will be ready for camp. But if you also take into account some of the things that Kevin Stefanski is saying in regards to, one, he's not putting a timetable on anything when it comes to Michael Penix Jr. and if he'll be ready for camp, you kind of got to lean towards the likelihood that Tua will be probably, because he's going to have the one leg up. So you got to kind of lean towards Tua being that day one starter, but it doesn't mean that once Penix is officially cleared and ready to go that, you know, the battle doesn't still kind of begin. It's just going to be a matter of, look, if Tua reverts to his 2023 self, Michael Penix will have an uphill battle in trying to win that starting position.
Well, yeah, I'm presuming a lot of things here. I guess I'm expecting now that Penix, based on what the Falcons are starting to leak out and, you know, our reporters on the scene are saying and the video that we're watching in these OTAs, that there's going to be a legit quarterback battle through preseason, which is why earlier in the program we were talking about, you know, will we see something we haven't seen in a long time in Atlanta, which is, you know, preseason where they play starters, and because you got to get these guys into sync with the new offense. And so it'll be, you know, a quarter and a half of Tua and a quarter and a half of Michael Penix in three straight games, and not so much just here's Trevor Simeon.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It'll be interesting to see how this kind of all plays out. If Penix is not 100%, then yes, Tua's got, you know, the air quotes leg up. But no question, I think that this is going to be sort of interesting. And I hope both get, you know, better out of this, and that all this doom and gloom about Atlanta having this disaster of a quarterback room actually turns out to, you know, Sam Darnold was a lost cause, wasn't he? And then he went to Seattle and did what?
Won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.